We've been here together now just a little while, it seems. Maybe not even half a day. And already we're beginning a journey together. More volume? Thank you for letting me know. How's that? Better? Yeah? Good, okay. So we're beginning a journey, entering into a path, we could say, together. And one of the things that I notice for myself arriving here is really quite a fortunate and privileged, I would say, position to be able to sit in this group and have the opportunity to look at you all. It's actually quite delightful. And, you might wonder about why that might be so, or it might be obvious to you, but for me it is. And I just kind of thought that maybe it doesn't have to be something that just myself or whoever gets to sit at the front could enjoy. And I'm not going to ask each of you to come and take a turn here, but I just thought it might be nice, if you wish, to take a moment and look around. You don't have to, but just notice who's here. It's not that you need to introduce yourself, but have a look around and see who's here. And if you'd rather stay with your eyes closed, that's allowed, but it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Human beings. Maybe we feel a little shy or embarrassed coming into a situation and being invited to look at people, or feeling that maybe people are looking at us. It's understandable. More volume? This thing ends up being like an ice cream cone. How's that? I don't really like it when it's in front of my face, but probably I'll just bang into it if I get excited, so I pay for that. But yeah, there's something interesting that happens when we look around. There's an invitation coming into the retreat to, in a way, turn towards the quality of inner attentiveness, a way of connecting and attending towards what's happening within. And it's really important and really powerful. And the silence and the forms that we've been starting to touch into and speak about and explore are very much part of that. And yet, with that sense of turning in, it's not that we're turning away from everything else in the world and in equally our neighbours. And so, for myself, I find something lovely and helpful, not just enjoyable, but helpful in the process of just consciously acknowledging that there's other people here. And not just sort of people that I don't have to know and don't have to talk to, which we might regard as a disappointment or a relief that we don't have to get to know them and talk to them, but people whose lives are here, whose hearts are here, who... I wasn't sure if that was a volume call or you're stretching. Okay, so it's alright, stretching's allowed, but I just need to get interpretation for what it means. And what I observe for many, not that maybe everyone, looking around, is the sense of looking at other people in the situation where we're here together. For many, there seems to be a sense of warmth or a smile that comes or some enjoyment of that process. And I think that's something natural, that even really within a short amount of time as we start to land and connect with ourselves, we feel or begin to maybe notice a sensitivity to each other and to life. And even in just a couple of hours of being quiet, maybe already we don't take for granted the fact that we might have an opportunity to connect with another. So there's an interesting play that we're entering into here, and this in a way is a theme that reflects the theme of the retreat, that what it is to really begin to turn towards ourselves, to connect with our inner experience, to begin to put the world of time and place and role and responsibility and all of those things that we live within much of our lives, to put them somewhat to one side, and yet not in doing so to push them away or reject them, to come into silence, into a relationship with our inner experience, to see what might be revealed there, is not in any way to reject or push away others. It's sometimes going into silence can feel a little bit like, you know, we have an association. It's, I don't know if it happens here in Israel so much, but certainly in New Zealand where I grew up and in England where I live, you know, a common punishment for young children who are bad is no one talks to them, or they're made to go and be by themselves and in a way forced into silence. And we can have that kind of association. So it's really important to really sense and check the quality. Is there a warmth here for us? And I'm not referring to the obvious warmth of the day. But do we connect with this possibility with a sense of warmth, with a sense of caring, of something shared here? That there's a releasing of the involvement with the day-to-day speaking and the stories of our lives, the busyness of our minds that's invited, that's offered to us entering into the silence. And in that, a receiving of our own experience, but also perhaps beginning to receive each other at a more essential level, at a more fundamental level of how and where we express what's most true for us in simply being, not in presenting our stories. We didn't get, probably most of you, the chance to sit down with a whole group of people today here and sort of chat about where you come from, what you do, what you like, find out that you went to the same school, as in fact turned out the case when Iran picked me up from my aunt today in Cholon, and it turns out he went to the same school as my aunt and my father. And then she was a teacher in that school, and you think, wow, that's lovely, isn't it? And we don't have that opportunity to find that out, at least not till the end of the retreat. And yet, just the fact that such possibility may be, and we don't know, we could be sitting beside a stranger who, in fact, we have a lot in common with. And from where I'm sitting, I'm actually quite confident that you do have a lot in common with each other. Just to be here, just what brings you here, is something immense to have in common, to share. And so, the process of receiving and releasing is really a theme that we could see. Receiving contact, releasing contact, experience, life. In the world of talking, we're letting go of something, and yet we receive something from that. Just step into silence. And one of the risks I realize, as I mentioned already to Lila and Iran, is, and they give the teaching in Hebrew, and it's lovely that they do, and makes of course sense. I have a little idea because they tell me what they talked about, and there's a small risk that I say similar things again, I don't know. But probably most things can be heard more than once and still useful. In that the sense of the silence as a receiving, it's like receiving ourselves, our life more deeply, more fully. This is what meditation is concerned with. So not just the silence, but the very beginning of the process that we've entered into, where we have the invitation to pay attention, to connect, to relax, to open, to ground ourselves where we are. There's a receiving here. And of course, maybe we're not quite sure what we're going to receive. We might be a little unsure whether we want to receive. Much of our life can be spent, you know, really trying to control what it is that we receive. Trying to determine, trying to fix, trying to manufacture what it is that we'll be touched by in life, how it is we'll be affected. And probably in turning up here, you have some sense already that it's not so easy to get that right, to make that work. That we can't determine what we're touched by. We certainly can influence it. But that sense of when we talk about receiving life, it's like receiving it the way it is. There's a certain surrender or opening to how the truth of our life is expressing itself to us. And in this practice, we are very much asked to trust in the truth of our life, to honor it. Even if we cannot, in the moment we're in, know where it's taking us, what it means, how it will affect us. And so there's a way then that we start to release also, as we enter that willingness to receive life, we start to release ourselves and our world, in fact, from the pressure that we can experience when we demand, when we expect, when we require things to be, others to be, or ourselves to be in a particular way. And in meditation, we're given instructions, and we'll be giving further and fuller instructions and tomorrow morning and the following mornings of the retreat. There's this encouragement to be present, to be awake, to be aware of what's happening, and to use tools or elements of our experience, such as the breath, the body, sense of sitting here or walking, to use that as a way of connecting, as a way of deepening our sensitivity and the quality of our conscious relationship with life and the different ways that it shows or expresses itself. And sometimes it can sound like there's a bit of a formula or an expectation, this is how it should be. A suggestion this afternoon to be attentive to the breath, to feel the experience in this part of your body or that part of your body. It might sound like I'm supposed to feel it in this part of my body or that part of my body, and if I can't, then I'm doing it wrong. And that's not the intention. That's in so far as there's an invitation to connect with our experience, it's to see it, to meet it as it is. And this is hard for most of us. I'm aware, I think, that is the volume too much? It's going tunk tunk. No. So I don't know if other people are hearing that.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so I'm just going to try a micro adjustment here. Is it still loud enough? Yeah, okay, good. One of the problems with messing with the microphone is the stream of thinking stops. It doesn't always start again in the same place. Yeah, something like that. Thank you. So, in the meditation, there's a presentation of some form, some tools, some technique. And the intention with that is to allow you to find and support you in finding for yourself the way in which you can consciously inhabit your life most fully, most deeply, and most completely in alignment with the way it is. So whenever your experience appears to be in contradiction with the instructions, don't assume there's something wrong with your experience. Assume that maybe the instruction hasn't been understood or hasn't been expressed well or necessarily understood as it was intended. So that we don't set up a process of somehow trying to be good at meditation or successful here. That's not what this is going to be about. Of course, there's a lot of scope for learning, for developing skill in the tools and the means and the practices of meditation, and it's important that we do so. And more importantly than that is we understand that the tools and the teachings are pointing us to something which isn't limited or defined by the forms we use to explore it or to express it. And so the breath will be just as it is. To receive the breath, that it doesn't have to be a certain way. What's it like to just receive one breath? You know, it's kind of ordinary. Perhaps it seems a little boring. It's like, why is this guy so excited about breathing? I've been doing it all my life. You know? Yeah, exactly. We've been doing it all our life. It's the first thing we did when we were born, is we took a breath. If we didn't, big problem. Anytime it stops, big problem. We know that, of course, in our minds. And yet there's a way we can become more sensitive to that reality, to that truth. It's like, this is my life being received right here as I breathe in. And if you think it isn't your life you're receiving as you breathe in, try not breathing in and see what happens. It's pretty clear, it's obvious, you don't need me to tell you. And so this, in a way, it's the receiving of our life, just in this moment, just that simple. And as we breathe out, you know, this is the releasing, the giving back of our life too. Because one day that out-breath will go out. There won't be another one comes in. Just that simple. That one goes out, and there isn't another one that comes in. And we, most of us won't actually know that that's going to be what happens in the next moment. It'll happen. But we won't be able to know, oh, this is the one that's going out and there won't be another one coming in. That's really unusual to have that kind of information. So everyone that goes out could be that one. I'm not saying that means you need to be worried or anxious about, oh my gosh, this could be the last one. You know, I better hold on to it. And yet, there's something about the immediacy. And Leela mentioned she quoted from a rabbi something about the, in a way, being in the present moment. Something that she really enjoyed to share. And this quality of being in the present moment, to see if we can't take the next moment for granted, it just makes complete sense to be here. And so this is what we're interested in. What does it mean to be here? And could we be here so wholeheartedly that if this breath went out and another one didn't come in, it would be okay? It would be just fine? Because we would be so fully in our life that nothing was missed, nothing was lacking, nothing was lost. I kind of wonder how you're doing so far. You don't have to tell me, it's okay. But I find myself wondering nonetheless. As I look around, I see, you know, some looking up, some looking down, some probably falling asleep. And, you know, why not? And In this week together, we really have a precious opportunity, a wonderful opportunity to make friends with our life and to discover its depths, to make friends with each other and discover that we really are not separate from each other in any way that is absolute or ultimate. And to perhaps also understand that deeply caring for life and at the same time moving within it with freedom and ease are the natural outcome and expression of giving ourselves to life and at the same time letting it go. Giving ourselves wholeheartedly and at the same time just letting it go. So, in that, we also have the chance to learn and to listen more deeply to the wisdom that is within each of us. This isn't something that we're kind of channeling from somewhere else and planning on, you know, passing around. It's not something we could write down and hand out, otherwise we do it, you know, and we could all go home. It's not like that. And yet it's here for us. And yet we may be like a radio station that we haven't quite discovered how to tune into. We get a lot of static often. Or we tend to get, you know, we like the pop music, so we go for that radio station. Some of what we encounter as we become quiet or enter into silence is that, you know, the experience of the mind that, as one retreatant on their first day reported, you know, I've had this great insight, my mind is a jukebox. And we maybe recognize that already, it doesn't take long. And yet, that image of a jukebox or a radio station, we say, oh, well, there are possibilities here, what are we tuning into? As we don't tune in so much to what is habitual and familiar, then the possibility of new discovery is there. And I'd like to read a poem by Mary Oliver. It's a lovely and probably well-known poem, so you may have heard it before. But for me, it speaks to that sense of an inner shift where in our hearts we recognize what's truly important and we commit ourselves to this above all things. It's called The Journey. She writes, one day you finally knew what you had to do and began. Though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life, each voice cried, but you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late. It was already late enough. And a wild night, and the road full of fallen branches and stones. But little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds, and there was a new voice which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. So there's a lot in this poem. That sense of recognizing and turning towards the deeper truth, listening. And at the same time, this isn't as to stride more and more deeply into the world. It's not that this practice is about somehow leaving the world or escaping from it, or the challenges and the complications it presents. Sometimes it looks that way. Sometimes it seems that spirituality is framed as a kind of a getting away from all that messy, dirty complication of life with bodies and all the needs and sensitivities of bodies and hearts and minds. And somehow getting to somewhere that's all clear and clean and tidy and safe. Spirituality sometimes looks like it's all about releasing, letting go, getting away, liberating. Maybe we talk of. Sometimes worldly life, or the maybe more ordinary life we think of, seems more about receiving. It's like getting. It's like, how much can I have? How much can I fill myself up with? And there's sometimes a way in which we split these two. We don't see that they are simply expressions of two sides, we could say, of a coin. Maybe you have this expression or know it. It's like two aspects of the same, receiving and releasing. Likewise, the spiritual and the worldly are not different worlds, but different expressions of something that is indivisible in its very nature. And so, receiving seems like receiving is more about getting and having, and sometimes that gets a bad press in spiritual circles. And yet it's important to really receive. And of course, releasing, you know, we talk about letting go, and it doesn't sound good in most worldly circles. People think, why do you want to let go? You want to have, get, keep, more, and all of that. But both principles, both aspects are powerful and important. And so there's something here to reflect on, to contemplate, to consider how we enter this retreat or how we hold our practice, whether there's a sense of getting, wanting to receive. And it can sometimes seem a bit like, you know, spiritual materialism. I want some nice meditation experiences. I want to go home with a certificate, you know, Vipassana 101, top marks. We can see our minds do that, perhaps. And yet there's something that's true in that longing and that calling from the heart, maybe, to discover, to receive. And we can also notice that sense of, no, let go, let's put things down. Yes, important, but not in any way that makes us distant from them. The letting go, the releasing that spiritual teaching's pointing to, is not about creating distance. In fact, it's the same as that intimacy in which we can't be separated from our life and from all things around us. And so the letting go is the releasing, is actually releasing of any distance, releasing of any position we hold ourselves in relationship to our experience. There's a lot there. So it doesn't feel like it all has to make sense on the first night. Receiving, releasing, living. It's your life. And it's also everybody's life. We share this together. Someone's celebrating.
The end of the Ramadan.
Oh, wow. Really celebrating. You know? Well, that's quite a commitment. Thank you, Ira. Yeah. So, I think in terms of reflections, I'll stop there. I wanted to make some time on this at this point for if there are questions or anything that someone needed, felt like a little more input to, both with regard to the practical elements of what we've spoken about in terms of setting up the framework and, you know, a lot of information we gave you at the beginning, which hopefully was clear, but if you need any clarification or further with that, there may be questions. Or if there's anything that you've brought, that you've come with, that you feel like it might be useful to have a response to, or you'd like to air. And I'm aware, it's always interesting for me in different countries that I teach, that in some countries you pretty much have to beg people to ask a question. In other countries you pretty much have to beg them to ask a short one, or only one and not six. And I won't say which side of the scale Israel tends to fall into, but being the first night, it may not be that there's a lot that you want or have to ask, and that's really fine. Please don't feel like you've got to come up with something for entertaining or sort of entertaining me or anything like that. And if you do have anything you'd like to ask, you're very welcome. I think it's a good sign when there aren't too many questions. So, hopefully that means that really what we've engaged in here is clear enough for you to enter into it. And that's as much clarity as any of us need, and really as much as we really have. We don't know where it goes, how it will be. Is it that the end of Ramadan coincides with Rosh Hashanah? Is that so?
No,
that's another way. So. Interesting meeting. So, I'll just say a little bit about the program for tomorrow, and then we will have a little time. I think we'll just take a little break and then have a last sitting together for the evening. For tomorrow morning, we'll be having a wake-up bell at 6 o'clock, and some of you, maybe you all know what the schedule is approximately before you come, but sometimes people think 6 o'clock, I thought this was my holiday, and maybe not so many think that, but 6 o'clock is actually, in relationship to the tradition in Asia and the monasteries in Asia, one might go to practice if one feels so inclined. Getting up at 6 counts as really having a good long sleep in. So I encourage you to enjoy that opportunity. And we'll have a sitting at 6:30 till 7:15, which is breakfast time. Now, just tomorrow morning, if it feels you're coming from a really busy or full-on life situation, and I know some of you are, for sure, and you feel like you need a little extra sleep tomorrow morning, that's okay. The following mornings, I'd really like to invite and encourage that even if you're feeling a little tired, you come along at that time. It's not so early. But for tomorrow, it's for you to decide what feels appropriate and most important for you. After breakfast at 8 o'clock, there will be at breakfast at 7:15, at 8 o'clock the working practice time. It's an opportunity to support the retreat and support each other, and it's really wonderful and important, your contribution in that way. And I guess you've been told where you need to go and what you need to do, and we appreciate your taking that on wholeheartedly and supporting the staff who run the retreat and work very hard to really take care of all of us and all of our needs. So that most of the time, apart from that work period, we don't have to think too much about practical things. So that's much appreciated. And then at 9 o'clock, we'll gather together again for the... there'll be meditation instructions and some sitting meditation. And then in the morning, there'll be further walking and sitting and some standing meditation. And we'll speak more about that when we get there. But I think that's enough to get you that far. Is that reasonably clear in terms of what's happening? We have a bell ringer for tomorrow. I'm not sure how the bell ringing is organized. Okay, thank you. Yeah, and just to let you know, in case the schedule for tomorrow has been posted, the latter part of the day may be adjusted a little bit because there were a few things I needed to check out about how it could work here that I didn't have when I wrote it. So don't worry for the morning, and we'll let you know in plenty of time for the afternoon if something's going to be just a little different. And then it'll stay pretty much that way through the rest of the retreat. So, last chance on any questions? You know, they won't believe me at home if I say there are 50 Israelis in a room. I say, anyone have a question? No one had a question? It's really fine. And they will believe me. So it's 25 minutes past 8. I'm just again checking in translation. Do you think mostly in 24-hour time? Mm-hmm. So when I say you actually think 25 minutes, 20:25 mostly? No? Okay. Okay, but it's clear. Good, because I get really confused trying to translate into that. I'll do it that way and leave you the confusion. So, if you need to get a, just have a quick drop of water, or need to do it, go to the bathroom, have a pee, or whatever. Just if you come back in about, if we take just 10 minutes now, so if the bell could be in 5 minutes and then gather back again, we'll have a sitting together to end the evening. And we finish by 9 o'clock, so it won't be a late night. Thank you.